MSW Media.
Hi, I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela, and welcome to The Final Word!
The Final Word with Frangela!
The final word. Thank you for joining us here on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network and MSW Media,
where you get the finest information and entertainment.
Finest. You can't get it anywhere else. It's amazing. Well, you can get it other places, but these are the good places. We want to thank all of you who are our Patreon supporters.
Oh my goodness. Thank you.
I want to thank you with every fiber of our collective.
My being.
That's right. And all of you who are about to become, like right after that you listen to this, thank you.
Thank you.
All of you who would like to become but don't have the wherewithal right now to do it, which we understand because we don't have the wherewithal to do it.
We totally
understand.
Thank you.
Thank you for caring and listening. That is important too. Go buy some products, do some things. All that stuff is helpful.
Yes, yes, yes.
Get other people to listen to the podcast. It's all incredibly helpful and supportive.
And you know what happens when you are a Patreon of this podcast? You get 3 micro idiots a week, and there's over 600 of them right now. So go get it.
Do it. Do it. And listen, it makes you a very good person.
Yes, it does.
We want to also say thank you to everybody who's gotten a cameo from us.
Woo-hoo!
That's a video. It's just a little video that we record for you.
For you, you can have a pocket-sized Frangela, and I know y'all have tried to put me in your pockets, okay? All right? I've seen it.
It's just such a temptation. You're like right there, you're tiny, you're cute. It's like you're dangling temptation in front of people.
But this way, you can have Frangela in your pocket, okay? Go to cameo.com and get a specialized video.
Do it. We've got shows, people. We can talk about them now. Live Nation is producing a Sexy Liberal Save the World tour. And so we have shows all over the place.
Yes. Go to sexyliberal.com. And our first show is April 13th in Minneapolis. If you are in the surrounding area, get your butt there because we are going to blow the roof off.
It's
going
to be so much fun. Only go to sexyliberal.com because there are fake sites. Fake links to get tickets. So we don't want you to get taken advantage of. So go to sexyliberal.com and get the tickets there. Okay.
Yes. Do that. And join us every Friday in the third hour of the Stephanie Miller Show for Fridays with Frangela.
It's the blackest thing happening.
I mean, in blackdom.
In blackdom.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe start, we're going to start with what's going on in Haiti. Haiti, it is a complete disaster. So far, over 350,000 people have been displaced, 15,000 in the past 2 weeks.
Yep.
The country is effectively being run, and by run, I mean terrorized, by gangs. And what makes this different is that it's because the gangs have united. They have united and become one. And there's a few people that are key players in this. One of them, his nickname is Barbecue.
Yeah.
He says it's because his mom had a chicken shack, right? She sold chicken when he was a kid. Most people think it's because he burns people alive.
And I'm gonna go with it's a Papa Doc sitch like that.
Well, he loves Papa Doc, apparently. So his name is Jimmy Cherizier or something like that. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it. But you could call him Barbecue. He was a Haitian police officer. He's turned into a gangster. And if you haven't heard of him before, here's some things you can get to know him by. A couple quotes. This is from Barbecue. I would never massacre people in the same social class as me.
Wow.
That's deep, right?
This is my question. Is humanity a thing that gets taught?
Does it get forgotten? Does it get put to the side? The ability to say I am massacring people, but they're not from my economic class. As if that's like, oh, well, okay.
Okay.
He said, I was born next to La Saline, which was it's a very big ghetto there. I live in the ghetto. I know what ghetto life is. He goes on to say, but we won't lie to people saying we have a peaceful revolution. We do not have a peaceful revolution. We are starting a bloody revolution in the country.
Why?
They, frankly, for money and power. There's no other,
there it
you
is.
Know.
Right. Because I don't hear a government. I don't hear a platform.
No.
I don't hear this is for the people.
No.
I don't hear my people are starving and eating fucking dust cakes.
No, here's our agenda. No, no, just we're going to be in charge. And this is the thing. What happened here is they've been in chaos since Moise,
yeah.
their last prime minister before this current one, Ariel, I think. Is that his last name? Yeah. Oh, Ariel Henry. He was assassinated back in 2021,
mm-hmm.
I think. And so since then, the country has been in absolute turmoil and they've been asking for help. So the current prime minister, who's now in, what is it, Puerto Rico, I think it not in hiding, but he can't get back to the country.
No,
they won't let him back in.
You can be in there. Yeah.
But Prime Minister Ariel Henry said that he would resign on Tuesday and his government would dissolve once a transitional council had been set up, because he was in Africa, I believe in Kenya, trying mm-hmm. to get together the negotiations to have a team of their people, their military, come out and help subdue the situation and help them set up this council to try to govern. So they're in crisis, and then
yeah.
it jumps off even worse.
Right.
And it is, they are roaming around, these gangs that have united, and they have released thousands of prisoners.
Wow.
They are raping and indiscriminately killing people.
Yep.
And they're absolutely doing, now their big move is, like all of these people, it's amazing to me how they all operate. It's the same. Now they're moving to make sure that they will never be held legally accountable. They're looking for amnesty. So they're now doing press conferences. They're now talking, trying to get out. They want a seat at the table. They want to be in charge. And then they have people who are supposedly able to step in and sort of maybe be a government there. These people are in league with them. And they're saying things like, well, if we tell them to put down their weapons and we'll give them an amnesty, then we can get rid of this violence.
Well, and this is my issue, which is the same issue that I have with Gaza, with Haiti, with Syria, with Ukraine. What is our responsibility first as humanity? Because I don't think we ever, and especially Africa, various places, various countries in Africa as well, we never look at these situations as humans. Mm-hmm. We always look at it from the purview of borders.
Mm-hmm.
And what is my responsibility within the, you know, because we, you know, I live in this border, so I don't care about what happens over there. And this is my issue, as especially I watch the GOP
yeah.
scream about, you know, the border, when people in South American countries can't stay in their homes. They are being hunted. So what my question is, what is our responsibility in this world? Because if I don't want you here,
mm-hmm.
and you can't stay there,
mm-hmm.
where can an earthly body be?
And understand, these people are at our door. These people are very close compared to, say, the people in Israel. Like,
yes.
They're like, and the crisis there is, it's been bad. And this is the thing. It's one of these situations where you're like, had we intervened or tried to intervene when the Prime Minister Moise, when he was assassinated, maybe we wouldn't be here. Because that
yeah.
gave, we've given the gangs 3 years to get
yes.
their act together and coordinate. And they've used it. And they have been committing atrocities. And we've allowed it. And the Dominican Republic they're standing at that border and they're letting people come over who can, buy some rice and go back. They're making them go back because they can't have They can't do it, right? Because they're on the same island.
They can't support another country.
And they have their own issues. And it's like, so I look at the situation and I'm like, you know, the difference in how we approach anything that involves people we perceive as being Black people, like the reality here is Kenya's got more of an interest in this than the United States.
Yeah.
Like it's what's like, and I get it. You go where the help may be, but it's like, I just find it, you know, and here's the problem. Henry, however you say it, he, Prime Minister, he was wildly unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than deal with that, rather than have elections when they might have been possible, rather than any of that, just kind of let it sit.
Yeah, let it fester.
And it fester.
Let it fester. And my issue is we sit here and we want to sit here and go, well, we believe in democracy. How do we bring that about in the world in a fair way? Because I also go, you know, should American kids be in Haiti fighting the gangs?
Well, I, you know, now we're at the place where I go, frankly, I don't know that that's a good, I don't know what the reality of that being a good plan is, period, whether or not I think it's moral or anything else. I'm not even sure, you know, if the way that the situation seems to be unfolding, the U.S., we've like apparently sent a team of Marines to try to help save and or possibly evacuate people in our embassy. And I don't know if you saw Mitch Albom, you know, he's a writer. Mm-hmm. Sports writers actually started, I believe he started in Detroit. He has a charity there, a foundation there, and he and his wife and a few people were emergency airlifted out of there, like Monday or Tuesday. And they're like, look, we can't, we've got people there. We've got, and we need to get people out. And then they've been showing footage on the news of people begging, you know, Americans there for different missionaries and different charity groups being like, every time we hear any noise, we hope it's a helicopter coming to get us. And it's like, you know, I think that everybody has access to the news. And I look at these gangs and what I see is how long before they decide to take hostages, how long before they decide to take American hostages, to take hostages they perceive as the world seeing as possibly more valuable, you know, because clearly they can kill as many Haitians as they want and nothing's going to happen to them.
And nobody cares. Yeah.
But it's, you know, everybody there is in a very dangerous situation. And I just think it's important that we walk and chew gum and we, in the midst of all the things that we are contacting our Congress people and senators about, we make sure that they start speaking to Haiti more and that we start looking at what are we doing? How are we getting, are we airdropping aid to them? Because these people are starving to death.
Yep.
These gangs have a stranglehold on Port-au-Prince, where most of their stuff happens. They are not allowing shipments in. How can we, do we need to airdrop aid to them too? Like, what can happen here? Because they are literally starving. And in fact, most gangs are made up of teenagers. And the reason they do it is, if you pick up a gun, they will give you food.
That's right. It's the same thing in Africa. And Hamas, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, well, and, you know, and you know, that's what every country does to its poor youth. We pay ours, at least.
Yeah. We, you know, don't send them out with machetes. But the situation is really bad.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. And people are suffering and dying. And so it's got to get addressed in a better way. I mean, they are definitely, I know Blinken, they're sending people around, like it is on the administration's heavily on its radar, but I think we need to, you know, pay more attention to it. Yeah.
Talk about it more in America. A Georgia judge threw out 6 charges in the Georgia election meddling case against Trump and his allies. But I'm going to tell you, what broke me, and it made me go, okay, it, for the first time, the judicial system is in for the GOP.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, completely.
I did hear something helpful about this, though. It helped me not gouge out my eye.
Okay, because I was like, how are we going to throw out what I can hear the motherfucker say? find me the vote. When I hear him make the bribe, how are we going to throw that piece of evidence out?
See, this is what they were saying. Andrew Westman and the other one who's kind of funny who comes on, Stephanie Miller. I can't think of his name right now. I'm sorry. I'm old. But they were saying how in some ways they think this might be a way to, and I have my own issues. You're going to be pissed to hear this too. Don't get me wrong. Get ready. That throwing out these charges, what he was really saying, and that he actually, it's one of those situations where he's giving them, telling them how to refile them. Right. That there are these problems with them. And that one of the reasons.
But that's going to take 6 months.
I don't know about that. This feels funny. This feels very like she may have this brief ready, you know, and then they can refile. And they can indict again. Like, that's not...
Right, I know that.
But one of the reasons he might have done this judge, is in order to... It sort of gives the Trump people a little bit of red meat right before you don't kick Fani off the case.
Got it. Okay, I can hear that.
Now, it pisses me off, let me tell you, that we are constantly in this appeasement mode with these insurrectionist, fascist, white nationalists, and nobody ever gives a damn about how Black, we can march till our feet bleed about something, about getting rid of a prosecutor, about anything, and nothing happens.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And again, appeasement. The only other time...
You don't even make them protest. They just go, oh, let's see if we can head it off at the pass. I mean...
The last people we talked about appeasing were Nazis.
Well, they are again. Apparently, that's... People haven't learned the lesson.
I'm going to drop that piece right there. Those are the last people we were appeasing.
And have that work out.
And you know what? We didn't learn. Back in the same hard-headed. Circular. Hard-headed, girl.
Hard-headed AF. Hard-headed.
Speaking of hard-headed, we're going to all have to put on helmets when they take the children's TikTok away, okay?
Let me tell you what makes me mad, Francis.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk the story, and then I'm going to say what makes me mad.
Okay. The House overwhelmingly passed a bill to force TikTok's Chinese owner to sell the app or face a U.S. ban. I'm going to tell you something. That's a big dick swing.
This is my problem, Francis. Number one, this is the thing that we can get agreement on. This is the thing.
TikTok.
Why don't you keep taking that Meta money? Keep taking that Instagram money, which is the same money. Keep taking all that money. Elon's money. But this is where we all agree suddenly. I bet their lobbying is really paying off. Let me tell you something. You can't agree on raising the minimum wage. You can't agree on protecting women's rights to our own body. You can't agree on making sure that men can't kill their wives when they've got, you know, access to guns, any kind of gun control. But this, TikTok, is where we get bipartisan support.
That's right. That's right. Let me tell you something. With both parties saying it threatens national security despite the company's effort to wall off U.S. data. I don't know about their efforts.
You won't regulate me, but not Trump.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Ooh, girl, all day long. All day long, the bill's fate remains uncertain in the Senate. It's going to pass, too. And the courts may say that it violates free speech, but some worry the move could worsen tensions with China as the U.S. continues to go after Chinese tech companies. The White House has said it backs the bill and views it as a way to address data risk. But I'm sorry, but the companies here, I'm telling you, Angela, what I found out recently is that when you're in a store and you walk past like the soft, like they've got monitors mm-hmm. that link up with the information in your phone mm-hmm. so that when you get back home, past the Gap, if you were at the mall and you walked into, you know, whatever, there's an ad there for you. You are, you know what I just recently found out recently too? Mm-hmm. That it was Sigmund Freud's nephew who was the father of advertising as we understand it now. And his last name begins with a B. But what he did was he continuously understood, because when people used to purchase in the past, people purchased on the basis of need. Mm-hmm. But what they did was rewire the American brain, most people's brain, to purchase and desire out of desire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this is my problem. What TikTok, you going to tell me you're concerned about data breaches.
That's what I'm saying.
You're concerned about access to people, but you're allowing it every other place. I got to look at Boeing, who seems like they may be rolling out gangsta on people now these days. They may be involved in some Putin-esque dealing with situations. Okay?
That's right.
Like with suddenly witnesses killing themselves. I don't know what's going on there, allegedly, but what I do know is that Boeing is a company that needs to be dealt with and investigated, because they got planes popping off and people dying. And
yes.
And yet, TikToking, where frankly you can learn how to make a really nice vegan meal, or you can, it's very good at telling you about people's personal problems. I got a thing to cut my hair on there. It's like low level, like it's and it's like, this is the thing that I don't have a problem with. A lot of, I'm not a big fan of any of it, but it's all useful. I'm in it for what it's useful for to all of us. But it's like, I look at these people and I'm like, this feels so sideshowy to me compared to everything happening. And this is the only movement we can get out of these people.
The only thing that I can say is, if you can get 100% of people who have access to information to agree on something, there's something we all don't know.
Or, quite frankly, it polls well. Like they mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, for whatever reason.
I don't think it will.
Trump has changed his mind on it. So I don't understand. To me, there's something else going on too, yes. But I don't know that it's a benevolent thing, like something like they know something we don't, because these are not people. Marjorie Taylor Greene don't keep her mouth shut. If she knew something, we'd know it.
Real quick, poll. 63% of respondents blame price increases on large corporations taking advantage of inflation, up from 54% in November. 38% blame the price increases on Democratic policies,
which is
unchanged
insane.
From November. Okay, so, you know, that the Democrats could be price fixing is hilarious to me.
It's so hilarious.
But I was asking Angela, because she's a Diet Coke drinker.
I have an addiction.
I'll try to be nice about it. Because I was like, you have got to have seen these cans now. The new Trickflation cans, where they have thinned out the Coca-Cola can.
Oh, I didn't know that's what you call them. Okay.
Yes,
I have seen that. Yes.
And they've gone up over 100% in price when you're still getting the same amount of Coca-Cola. So what they've done was gone in, redid the whole packaging to fool the mind so that they can then raise the price, not 100%, but I think it's like 130%.
Let me tell you something. Have you been to a fast food restaurant lately? Probably
Girl.
Not. Or have you? Like, at one meal at a fast food restaurant is anywhere from $16 to $20.
Have you tried to buy a t-shirt that wasn't Fruit of the Loom? It's $50.
And Fruit of the Loom price has gone up. See, this is the problem. Everybody has been taking it. And you, because you ask yourself, is this about supply chain? Is this about whatever? No, they're taking advantage of what happened during COVID. They're taking advantage of being able to increase prices. And see, how far, what they're doing is they're testing us out. They're like, how much will these people take?
Yep.
And what I know about Coca-Cola is that when we act on them, they do respond. Remember how they tried to get rid of Coke and did a new Coke? And then they tried to do this other? No, we don't have to take this.
No, we don't. We'll be right back after these messages.
Okay.
If you're going through menopause, perimenopause, and you just can't seem to find comfort in your body anymore.
No.
You're done with menopause, but you're still feeling like a wet sock on a busy highway, then you have to try Hormone Harmony.
That's right. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. And I can't even tell which one I'm in. Mm-hmm. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows.
No compromise. Mm-mm. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life.
Yes. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats. And ooh, child.
Oh, y'all, it's like I fell asleep in an air fryer. I can't take it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Racing thoughts just all over the place.
Yes. Poor sleep. I get that. Occasional bloating and gas. Ah.
No, and no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what we mean.
Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all these things. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. Ooh. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over, get this, 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FRANGELA at checkout.
Remember, go to happymammoth.com and put in FRANGELA. You'll get 15% off. Do it now.
Do it.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let us tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right?
It's really cool, and it's so easy. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask.
And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity.
Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, the challenges that she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever.
Face it, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. My own mom, when I gave her MyLifeInABook.com, let me tell you something. They ask great questions like, what was your favorite childhood game? And when she told me, I was concerned, okay? I was concerned for my past mama, future mama. They played rough.
So check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code FRANGELA at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day.
That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code FRANGELA for 10% off today.
Welcome back. Ooh, Angela.
This is going to be okay, everybody. You might want to light a candle. Put on something comfy. Just pause this and put on something comfy and just relax in your special place.
And some soft music, you know, just to play underneath here.
Ooh, maybe get in a bathtub with a nice bath bomb. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Because it's going to be some happy adult times.
Yes.
Say it, Frances. Say it slow.
Okay, y'all. Trump may not have sufficient liquid assets to cover the full $464 million civil fraud judgment against him if he loses his appeal.
I don't... Why does that taste so delicious?
It was so, oh my God. Mm. I got bristles on my toes right
I mean,
now.
I'm tingly. My back is up and down my spine. It is so delightful and delicious.
Why, he don't have the money. He don't have the money.
He don't have the money.
He ain't got the money. You ain't got the money. New York Attorney General Letitia James argued that Trump and his co-defendants should be required to post cash or bonds covering the entire amount to pause the judgment while they challenge the ruling, like everybody else in this country.
Don't even. I've had it. Y'all about to. I've had it. Okay. But ooh, just the thought of him. But this is the thing, you know, also what's happening this week is the Trump cabal has taken over the Republican Party, the RNC.
Yes.
I mean, tell me there's not enough popcorn in the world for my watching pleasure of this, that evil organization being totally dismantled. They fired all these people.
They subsume them.
What's her name, homegirl? What's her name, daughter-in-law?
Rona Daniels. Rona Romney. Who?
No. The other.
No, that's not her, right? The daughter.
Who was running it? No, the daughter-in-law.
Oh, the daughter-in-law.
Trump's daughter-in-law.
Laura.
Yeah, Miss Laura came in there and said, "How many people does it take to write a check to Donald? That's all we need here."
Get the firing.
That's the all we need. Everybody has to go home. Which means down ballot races. No, you ain't getting no kind of help. No kind
you
of
you ain't
money.
Getting no money. You are getting no money. And in fact, what they're doing is passing the hat behind the scenes right now. What can you contribute?
Well, this is my thing. I bet you the only way to stay employed is to give them money.
Yep.
Because if I know these Trumps like I think I know these Trumps, that's the kind of, they're the kind of people who can find the scam within the scam within the scam.
Yes, yes,
and get money
yes.
from all sides. But this is the thing, you know, I watched this video. It may have even been a TikTok. A friend sent it to me. And she, of this woman, we say this all the time. I've been saying this all the time, but this video said it much more articulately. She was saying, you know, what her husband was asking, because he doesn't pay attention to politics, but she does. Why would these people, these MAGA people, why do they vote for these people? It's against their interests. It doesn't help them. It hurts them. Why do they do it? And she says, because when you are a poor white person in this country, you don't have capital. You don't have things. But what you can have is social capital. What yep. you can have is your whiteness. It is the thing that makes you a player in this world. It is the thing that makes you not a loser. It is the thing that gives you some sense of mattering. So yep. it's so closely tied to your identity in that way that when you see Trump, he makes that. He is appealing to you to them with that. And that's all he needs to do.
Yep.
He doesn't need to give them jobs or money. And so when we're looking at this man not having the money that all the money he has stolen, you know, you yep. look at Steve Bannon, Trump says, give me money to build a wall. People send it. Steve Bannon steals it. And then Trump pardons him.
Yep.
When you look at this, the idea that Trump may actually have to, and he should actually have to pay this, and he is going to lose this appeal, like even if he's able to get it, it is amazing to me that a person who could make up, who might be able to have $464 million is somehow a populist leader, is somehow appealing to these people. It's because he's selling them whiteness. He's selling yep. them white privilege.
Yep, selling racism.
Yep.
And speaking of selling, Trump says Pence could have prevented January 6th Capitol attack. Trump says Pence could have stopped it.
He could have stopped it. But I think it's really interesting here. Well, read more because the next sentence is particularly interesting to me.
Former President Donald Trump pushed back against his former Vice President Mike Pence for saying over the weekend that Trump endangered his family and should be held accountable for January 6th.
That's an interesting, you know, Pence, when I tell you that man can soft shoe like nobody's business, it is remarkable to me that you can be a white biscuit maker like him. And then he comes around and now he's like, well, now they should be held accountable.
Right. For this is the thing, for endangering his family.
Just his family.
They did call for him to be lynched. Okay, in fairness to Mike, they did say hang Mike. They didn't say hang everybody else. They said hang Mike, and we know they meant Pelosi also. But the chant was hang Mike Pence, which, I'm sorry, tickles me. It tickled me.
It has taken him 3 years?
Yeah, it took them 3 years.
You know what? But that's okay. You know what? I'm going to say this. I was about to say something else.
He just got mad about Francis.
I was just about to, I was going to judge him, but then.
You remembered who you are?
I had to remember who I am.
But your time to mad is much quicker now.
So this is the thing. I sit here and I go, yeah, maybe it did take him, like it takes women years and years and years to get through enough healing,
yeah,
or anybody, you know, from trauma, or anybody from trauma, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to deal with something,
to recognize it as trauma, you know,
that it is trauma, that something bad happened to me, no matter what these people say happened. And maybe it took him, and let me be compassionate, and here it took him 3 years to get to this place to be able to voice this.
But you know what, Francis, I feel like if somebody was yelling, hang Francis, that you would get there quicker than that. I do believe that. If you were like, hang Francis, that you would be mildly irritated at first. And then wildly pissed off within a good 5 to 10 seconds. Like, there's something particularly about hang Mike Pence that feels to me like it should cut through all of that, right? Like, okay. And then you look out the window and they have erected a gallows. This is not theoretical. It's not, you know, in people's imaginations. They have made it real.
Well, Trump said, had he sent the votes back to the legislatures, he's still on that shit.
As he tried to deny it in Georgia.
He says they wouldn't have had a problem with January 6th. And so in so many ways, you can blame him for January 6th. He's still on that shit. I didn't know what kind of fucking fairy dust is he on. Because it's good. That's a good fucking drug.
Let me tell you something. This is very much like it is the bank. The bank could have stopped this robbery.
Right?
Okay. The bank had every means available to them to stop this robbery. And they didn't. So that's on me. That's on them. They could have stopped it. Why didn't they stop it? They could have stopped it. Okay? They could have gotten rid of all their money and then there would have been nothing for me to rob. And instead, they boldly and blatantly kept all that money. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to steal it. How is that on me?
And that's all that is. And lastly here, a bipartisan panel of 3 North Carolina judges unanimously ruled that a Republican-led effort to restructure the state's election boards is unconstitutional.
Sick of these people. I'm so sick of them.
You know, and my issue is to act like Jim Crow isn't still being practiced, as if, you know, the looks and the dealing with that I have to kind of try to eke out of people to understand where brown people are in this country today.
And this, I think there's a really interesting thing aspect to this story. So this law, which was passed by the GOP-controlled legislature over there, they have a Democratic governor Roy Cooper's veto, would have shifted the power to appoint election board members from the governor to the legislature and created boards with an equal number of Democrats and Republicans. The judges found that this infringed on the governor's constitutional duties and was an unlawful attempt by the legislature to seize power from the executive branch. The ruling leaves the current structure in place with the governor appointing a majority of members from his own party. Republican legislative leaders are expected to appeal the decision. So understand what they did here. And this is really important because for me, the thing that stuck out for me is that what we often hear on the Democrat side, what we often hear on our side is we don't want to do that because then they might do it in the future. Mm-hmm. We don't want to get rid of the filibuster right now, because then they might decide to get rid of the filibuster for when they want to get rid of it. And the reality is, you know what the Republicans here did? They're not worried No. About there being a Republican governor or a Democrat. They want to, so they're dealing with what's in front of them today. What's in front of them today is a Democrat governor who isn't going to do what they want. So they want to take that power away from him. They don't care about whether or not in the future that hurts them. They deal with the thing they're in right now and do whatever it takes to get it accomplished. And they don't anticipate things being wrong or that being overturned. They just do it. And I feel like we say it all the time. That is what we need a good, healthy dose of, which is just do it. Just do it. Like take care of us right now. Preserve our votes right now. Fight for us right now. Fight the enemy we're in front of right now. And yeah, all these things need to happen, but they're not going to happen with a House and a Senate that aren't controlled by people who actually want a House and a Senate, who believe in government. And if we can't get that happening, if we can't have people who actually respect these levers of power, we're never going to get to make those changes to ensure that nobody else can do this.
Well, and the reality is that once we sit here and figure all that out, you know, we can't even get to the decision of what we want to do. We know what needs to be done, but we can't figure out how to get there. The Republicans don't know what needs to be done, but they sure know how to get there.
They go home every night and go, how can I keep Black people from voting? How can women from voting? How can I make sure that even if they do vote, the people they vote for have absolutely no power? They are not conflicted about their goals. They have no other goals and would stop thinking they care about being reelected because they don't. What they're trying to do is make sure they don't have to be reelected.
Mm-hmm. That is our final word. I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela. Thank you so much for listening to The Final Word.